This morning, we're going to study in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 1 to 18, Law of Sickness and Sabbath. If you're familiar with the U.S., you know, Internal Revenue Service, we call it IRS. IRS, they employ more than 90,000 people and has the budget of $16.1 billion. Just imagine how much time and money could be saved if American people simply submit to the IRS authority. It means they file income tax properly. But we don't like submit to someone with authority. And you understand if you study the history, the human history is a history of how man always rebels against authority. And if you go back to the book of Genesis, beginning in the garden, people demonstrate they want to answer to no one, including God. It's continued throughout the Old Testament, and you see it's continued through the New Testament and also the world today. So, basically, only if there's a supernatural work from God in our heart, if it happened, and probably the people will turn away our rebellious way and submit Jesus as Lord and Savior. And you understand through the history, or even us today, our nature, rebellious nature, we struggle with authority, particularly Jesus' authority as Lord. And when you study in the book of Gospel John, in chapter 5, Jesus, he healed a lame man and persecuted because of this action. This persecution provided him a perfect opportunity to reveal his authority over on mankind and control religious leaders with their rebellious against God. So when we study the book of John, you find out it's very, very interesting. But before I go through chapter 5, I need to review a little bit because probably Pastor Chris, he ought to go over. On chapter 1 is introduction of the whole book. Chapter 2 to 4 reveal how the people interested in Jesus and his miracle. But when it transitioned to chapter 5 and 7, it's very much a shift from curiosity to opposition, and you will find out it led to persecution. And the shift toward attitude toward Jesus corresponded to Jesus establishing his authority. And when we go through chapter 5, verse 1 to 18, you would understand about this. So from chapter 5, verse 1 to 18, there's two things you need to understand. Jesus Christ, he's the Lord over of sickness, and he also over the Sabbath. So let me pray. And Father, we thank you very much being here to share your words. So I pray the Holy Spirit continue to use me to share the word from the Bible and only from the Bible. So I pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people who listen to this message so they can understand and also apply to their life. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, first point, Jesus is Lord over sickness from verse 1 to 9. After this thing, if you have the Bible, you can open and read along with me, or you can read from slide. After this thing, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool which in Hebrew called Bethesda, which having five porticos. In these porticos lay a multitude of those who were sick, blind, limping, or paralyzed. Now a man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus, upon seeing this man lying there, knowing that he had already been in that condition for a long time. And Jesus said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool where the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallets, and walk." Immediately the man became well, and picked up his pallet, began to walk. Now you see the picture of the Sabbath, where it's happened. And it's happened during the Sabbath day. And you understand Jesus, he's in charge. This miracle reveals his authority and deity of Jesus Christ. I want to point out to you four things about this miracle. Point number one, it's not a fake healing. It's begin healing the lame man. This man chosen by Jesus, being lame for 38 years. He's not faking it. Jesus, if you understand right now, by now, he's roughly about in the early 30s, probably about 31 or 32. If this has been fake, this man had to plan for 6 years before Jesus was born. So it cannot be fake healing. Secondly, it's not the faith healing. If you see the TV or you read a book, there's a lot of advertisement about the promised people just have enough faith and they will be healed. Okay? And you read, you watch TV. One of the guys I remember, his name is Peter Potthoff. He was very popular during the time of 1970 or 1980, who claimed he could heal the people if the people have enough faith. So he's very famous, very popular, and but he was exposed during the Johnny Carson show. It turned out to be he had the people, his people, very much like mingle with the people, you know, who watch Johnny Carson. And he had, you know, they have the microphone, very small microphone, transmit the radio between Potthoff and his wife. And so he get exposed. So, you know, when the people find out what's going on from the audience, they transmit the radio to his wife, and his wife transmit the information to him. So he act like he know. But everything he said is very much lie. So when you go back to chapter 5, the Gospel of John, no way to support. This is the faith healers. The man who was healed had no example of faith. Because when you read in verse 7, when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to get well?" And he turned around, he complained, "Oh, well, nobody helped him." So it cannot be faith. So we learn later on when we get to verse 10, when Jesus asked him, when the people asked him why he break away during the Sabbath and, you know, carry his mat and his staff, and he turned around and blamed on Jesus. Okay, the man who made him well, made me well, told me, pick up your mat and walk. And later on, when you read on in chapter 5, Jesus coming back to him and tell him, do not sin anymore, so that something worse doesn't happen to you, in verse 14. So basically, in the Gospel of John chapter 5, okay, the reason this man's condition was the result of sin he committed. And of course, in this case, because of sin, but another case in the Bible, because the consequence of the people's action, okay? For example, way back in the, I think it's year 2000, there's HIV or A very much spread on over America. And the people who contract HIV from the immoral action is not, because something else. So that's the result of the sickness or illness, because the consequence of whatever they're doing. The same thing, people sometimes, you know, they drunken and they have the car accident on the freeway, not the result of the physical consequence. Okay? And thirdly, you would find out it's a free healing. This man didn't buy the healing. He didn't win the sweepstake or the coupon to get healing or get well. He certainly didn't deserve to be healed. But because Jesus gracefully chose him to heal him, and that he was healed. This man, you can imagine with me, probably he's an old, angry, you know, bitterness man who broken and helpless. He did nothing to deserve the kindness of Jesus. Even when Jesus seek him out, he respond with very, very ugly comments, complaining, nobody help me. So what does Jesus do? Jesus, he doesn't say, well, if only, you know, he asked me or you asked me, hey, this guy, he deserved to be alone and miserable. Jesus didn't say, hey, I gave him a chance, but he kept complaining, so forget it. But through the eyes of Jesus, through his grace, he looked past the man's failures, past the man's sin, and he restored him. He made him whole. So the same thing Jesus Christ can do that for you. He can do the same for you. He has the eye to see your past, the tough, the hard exterior, and he can look past your brokenness and he can make you whole. And that's what John chapter 5 talking about. And lastly, it's a full healing. This man, he wasn't partially healed. He was completely healed, instantly healed in chapter 9. When Jesus told this man to get up and walk, sickness and disease very much fled from this man. So how much physical therapy did the man require after disease left his body? Some of you work in the medical field. You know, when the people after illness or sickness or even the lameness like this man probably had to go through the physical therapy for 3 months, 6 months to be able to function properly. But in this miracle, this man completely healed. He get up, he walk. The body, you know, on his illness left his body. Okay? The words Jesus brought total and complete restoration. Sometimes we, as a Christian, we forgot about this thing. We forgot about the power of Jesus. He is the Lord over sickness. If he command is to go, sickness must obey. This is why Christians pray for physical healing. It isn't always Jesus will to heal his people, but if it is his will, he can do it. Just remember that. Often he doing 1,000 other things through the sickness, things we are unaware of. But if we pray, because sickness is no match to him. So what I'm counsel you, help you to understand, when you face challenge in your life, even the illness or sickness, go to Christ first and pray to him. Second point I want to talk about, Jesus is Lord over Sabbath, verse 9 to 18. Immediately the man became well and picked up his mat and began to walk. Now it was a Sabbath on that day. So the Jew was saying to the man who was cured, "It is a Sabbath. It is not permissible for you to carry your mat or your pallet. But he answered to them, he who made me well was the one who said to me, pick up your pallets and walk. They asked him, who is the man who said to you, pick up and walk? But the man who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had slipped away while there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, behold, you have become well. Do not sin anymore, so that nothing worse happens to you. The man went away and informed the Jew that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jew was persecuting Jesus because he was doing this thing on a Sabbath. But he answered to them, my Father working until now, and I myself am working. For this reason, therefore, the Jews were seeking on the more to kill him, because he not only was breaking the Sabbath, but also was calling God, his own Father, make himself equal to God. So you find out the story not just in it here, you know, at the Bethesda pond. It isn't as simple as Jesus healing the man, but the man going to his own way, not just that. Look at the last phrase of verse 9. Now that day was the Sabbath. So you understand, Jesus chose to heal this man on this specific day, the Sabbath day, to make the point to religious leaders at that time. He wants them to see their lack of submission to God and his authority. So when things happen, the word is spread out about this healing man. And the Jewish religious leader find him before he returned home. So they say in the essence, this is a Sabbath. Why are you working by carrying your bag? How dare you? With my own translation, doesn't reveal their value. What is the value they believe in with this religious leader? First, they're more concerned about their rule, the people rule, than God rules. And secondly, they're more concerned about all the things going on may impact their authority and power. So the man, you know, they just been healed. Should the people celebrate? But the people didn't do that, especially the religious leader. Instead of celebrate, the man was healed. But they're not doing that. They very much like, hold on to the rule and tradition and begin to act on that tradition, their rule, and become very, very dangerous. The religious people, they probably want to claim they love this man. They probably can claim that. However, their action didn't reveal that. Eventually, they try to find out who is the one who healed the man. And when they find out Jesus is the one who healed the lame man, they persecute Jesus. And they give out the reason, because Jesus doing this thing on the Sabbath. So when later on, probably Pastor Chris will move on, you know, other chapter in the book of John, you will see the persecution keep growing and grow him. And when you get to chapter 19 of the book of John, it very much like this same man and the crowd will do the screaming, take him away and crucify him. So Jesus had the opportunity to defend himself. So what he said, my Father is still working and I am working also. So you need to understand why God created the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a gift the people a day to rest from their labor, from the day, so the people can worship, the people can get close to God. Okay? And the work, you know, if we're not careful, the work, it can be so busy. And if you're not focused on rest, and you may work too much and may become the burden and no longer enjoy life. And the Bible also talking about the act of mercy, the work of kindness that benefit all the people, that the desire of the Sabbath day. And the Sabbath day also create not only rest, helping the people, but also the Spirit of the Lord will be with the people so can do the work properly and joyfully. And because of the rule, the people rule, so the Sabbath no longer just the enjoy day, the worship day, or the spirit of the community day to help the people. And so that reason why the Ten Commandments talking about people need to take the Sabbath day, the day of rest. You know, today we pick Sunday is the day of rest. Get together to worship God and have a break from the whole week of working. And so we can recharge not only physically, mentally, but also spiritually. So you find out up to this point, the showdown has been brewing and now taking place. The religious leader of Israel are facing with the decision, will they submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, or will they rebel against his authority and chose to live autonomously? Will they honor the instruction, the command, the tradition, okay, and ignore Christ's command? They had to make the choice. And you find out they make the choice to elevate, to pick the man-made rule above God's will. Okay? And they forgot the Bible talking about the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So when the thinking, the attitude changed by understand falsely God's word, it changed the whole thing. And the Sabbath day no longer just enjoy, get close to God, or worship God anymore. So you and I, believe it or not, every day we live and we work in this world. Our heart is a battlefield. Always two opposite forces, okay, clashing violent each day. Our desire for autonomous self-rule engaged in a battle of appropriate desire, submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. These two forces kind of fighting in our heart. So regardless who we are or what situation we are in, we must diligently fight to obey Christ. And you have to remember remember how Jesus Christ died on the cross because of our sin. By believing him, we have everlasting life. And his promise, we have enjoyed full life when we obey and we walk with him. And this is the battle we can win. Only the work of Jesus Christ in us. And every day we face the decision by this opposite force and I just mentioned about. At the conclusion, Jesus is the Lord over the sickness and the Lord over the Sabbath. What that means is Jesus can heal and give rest. Jesus can heal your broken bone, your broken heart, or your broken relationship. It happened But if it happened to you, Jesus can heal you. If you are tired, weary, don't have strength to go on, Jesus can give you rest. The Lord Jesus Christ, appealing, and the Lord oppressed, invites you to come and be refreshed and restored as you follow him. May God's word this morning would encourage you and help you to focus on Jesus Christ, on your walk every day with him. Let us stand up so I can pray. Our Father, we thank you very much because your word this morning reminding us you are the Lord over sickness. Sometimes we face a challenge in life and our heart is a battle. Sometimes we kind of depressed, and sometimes we have such broken relationship, and sometimes we face a burden and we think we cannot handle. And your word this morning reminding us, come to Jesus, come to you, Lord Christ. We have rest so we can be restored. May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with all God's children in this room and the one who listen through live stream. Be with you always from now and forever. Amen.